Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
It's not the cop that carries you up, it's the cop in the carry you up.
Quite good. Keep improvising. I'm still coughing.
Poor Aidan. What's wrong with you? You're always sick.
Do you know what? I've got this eternal flu. I had a communication with my brother on the 30th of December when he said, we've both got bad colds. And I said, oh, that's funny. Me too. And I know, so I can pinpoint it back that far. I have still got it. As you can hear, it's now a cough. Right. I think I've talked on the show about how I do Pilates from time to time, and I saw my chap the other day, and he said to me, he's got a lot of people who are the same, who've got this sort of eternal flu bug that doesn't quite knock you out completely. It's just with you, and you have to live with it, and you're sort of living at 80, 90%, never 100. And that's how kind of how I felt since January. It's been horrible. It's had me in bed completely knocked out at times. It's been occasionally just a sore throat or a runny nose, as you can hear at the moment. It's a cough. And I don't mind telling dear listeners that just to top it all, I got myself a UTI, urinary tract infection as well. So I've just finished 2 weeks of antibiotics for that. So I'm feeling very miserable this month. Apart from that, I'm fine. How are you, Ted?
I think it's about lifestyle as well. It's about, you know, the point that you're happy to go to Pilates and nobody's wearing a mask and people are touching each other. And, you know, I've had this with my dad lately. He doesn't get that how germs just circulate. He chooses a lifestyle where he's constantly touching people and shaking hands and any opportunity he's shaking hands with people, then touching his face. And I said, are you, because he sounds at the moment a bit like you do, and he's now on antibiotics for a chest infection, and he just doesn't get. I preferred it in COVID. I have to tell you. Everyone wearing masks and touching elbows instead of shaking hands. That was great. The Japanese got it right.
Do you know what? My mother and I still, religiously, every time we come into the house, I insist that we wash our hands when we've been out. Since COVID,
just
to this
you.
Day, we do that. Yeah. And I think that's certainly prevented my mother from being unwell. Ladies and gentlemen, I will do my best to hold this back. But if I start to talk as if I'm drunk or something, it's only because I'm trying to stifle a cough while we go on. Right. You better do some housework before we move on, hadn't you, Ted?
It's the alcohol in the Streptels. Whateverworks.works. That's our website. That's how we will get the links to you, and you can see what we've been talking about while you listen along, hopefully. And it's also in your podcatcher, of course, because 98% of listeners will be using a podcatcher. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. Don't bother booking him up yet while though. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and all the stuff we do there. You know how normally I say, nothing's happened to me, I'm the happy hermit, and nothing happened to me? Well, something did happen to me.
Oh.
I fell over. I was in the Tesco car park, and this was in the middle of January, and I tripped. I've got this pair of trainers, which are absolutely great, but they're size 14s. Not only are they size 14s, but they're just like boats as well. They're huge. And I, instead of walking round this little wooden fence, I decided to try and climb over it. And of course, these stupid great big shoes tripped me over.
Oh.
Arse over tit.
Oh. Painful?
And I really thought I'd hurt myself, you know. Both of my knees hurt. My hip hurt. I got an instant gout attack. Because, that's what happens when you get trauma. My ribs hurt. Actually, my ribs were the things that lasted the longest.
Did anyone I'm sorry, I've got to interrupt because I'm very curious. Did anybody run to your attention to help you? Okay.
Well, after I got myself up, one bloke who was walking along said to me, "You all right, mate?"
And I, mate.
Apart from being called mate like that by some oik, I said, "Yeah, I think so." Anyway, no, nobody rushed to the scene to actually help me. Not that they could have done, because I'd be twice the weight of anyone else. Anyway, I was really expecting to be bruised because I bruise really easily, but no, I wasn't. And my ribs, the side of my ribs, that was what that's what lasted the longest. It was really odd, but yeah, full recovery, so no worries.
I think side of the ribs is where the hips are, isn't it? So that might be what was upsetting you.
It was
a bit.
Higher up than that. Oh, yeah, right. It was higher up than that. Oh, it was underneath my arm.
Sorry to hear that, Ted, but at least you're telling it with a laugh and a smile in your voice, so it can't have been terribly bad.
Yeah. Wow. But it brought it home to me about how, I mean, I've got a lot of fat to cushion blows, yes. I suppose. But where you've got a little old lady or even my dad, you know, you can see how if you fell over like that, it could really damage you.
Yes. And at least, I guess, after you.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, at least it seems you didn't do the classic thing of putting your arms out, which is instinctive, and then breaking an arm on the during the fall. You know, that might have happened to you. So you're lucky. Yeah. I mean, a lot of old people break arms in that respect because it's the automatic thing to do, isn't it? When you feel yourself falling, you put your arms out. Oh, well,
indeed.
I'm sorry to hear that, mate. Here, I've got to tell you... You got me thinking.
Don't you call me mate.
Well, yeah, I know all about your adversity to mate. And it reminded me, I have to tell you a story. You know, I think I've talked about how I'm starting to build up my own Santa costume. I'm having great fun at the moment, looking around and ordering and investigating and doing all sorts of things. One of which entailed going into a saddlery because I've got a leather, I won't bore everybody, but I've got some leather Santa bells that I need attached to my Santa belt, and I need somebody who has leather skills to do the folding and the attaching of a popper, etc., and the cutting of the leather. So we have a local leather gun place around the corner. So I went there, and they immediately said, "No, I'm so sorry. Or we only repair gun cases. We can't help with anything else." And there was a young lad there, standing there in his, you know, in his jodhpurs and his tweed and his cap. And he said, "Are you looking, is it to do with horses?" And I said, no, it's actually to do with the Santa costume. He said, "Oh, well, there's a lady who made me a belt. I think she can probably help you." And he gave me this lady's address, which was very kind of him. And I said, "Could you tell me your name so that I can tell the lady that you recommended me?" And he said, "Oh, yes, it's Sebastian." Good and it story. Just occurred to me how the other half lives. I mean, would you rather be called, "All right, mate, how you doing?" Or would you rather have, "Oh, hello, it's Sebastian. I just wondered how you're doing, Mr. Salmon."
It's two extremes, isn't it?
You're
quite right. There's a middle road. And that stuck-up, toppy-nosed shit, that annoys me just as much as being called mate by someone. So... there's a middle road, isn't there?
Oh, dear, and we have to tread it. Be aware, listeners. Yeah. If you want communication with Mr. Ted Salmon, tread the middle ground or be careful.
Well, it's just so common. I mean, I don't think that I'm posh particularly, but using mate is just so... bloody common. It's like the gutter language. I don't know.
It reminds me of that classic sketch. Is it John Cleese, Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett, where they're all standing in Area of the Heights? And that's the idea of the class structure, that when you're in the middle class, you both look down on the... Oh, no, but then you look up to the upper classes. You're looking down on the upper class. No, you're an exception, Ted. You're looking down on both the upper and the lower classes. Forget I said that. Here, before we move on...
I can't stand posh people. Anyway,
I've noticed you can't stand most people, Ted, let's be honest. Yeah, now, I made a note in our show recording notes some weeks ago now saying, tell me about Etsy, E-T-S-Y, the website, because in my searching for Santa stuff and looking to buy various things online, I keep search results keep throwing me towards Etsy, which always scares me and makes me think, oh, this is some weird platform for people who want to nick your money. I'm going to avoid it. And I'd made a note in our recording notes to yourself, Ted, saying, tell me about Etsy. Well, dear listener, Ted replied saying, not me. I had to look it up. So since then, I've actually looked again at Etsy, and I've even done some researching on there and discovered that it's really not too bad. And I've actually joined. It appears to be a marketplace of... It's a bit like, you know, on Amazon now, you can buy stuff that comes from third-party sellers. Well, Etsy seems to be a marketplace of third-party sellers, but it's the sellers on Etsy, rather than, oh, here's a job lot of toothbrushes that fell off the back of a lorry that I'm trying to flog. It's more genuine, creative artists. artisans, so it seems to me on my first learning, it seems to be genuine creative people who make with leather or with, you know, I don't know, woodwork stuff and costume, and they want to sell it on. And looking for a particular item for Santa, which in this case was a small leather pouch to fix to my Santa belt, I actually found one on Etsy. I sent a message to the person saying, you know, would this fit on my Santa belt? And he said, no, it wouldn't, but we do make one that does. Would you like one? You can choose what colour you want it in, and you can choose the colour of the threading as well. And I said, oh, yes, yippee, black in both cases, please, I'll have one of those. And I've ordered it, and it's 18 quid, and it's handmade leather. Now, I might get some awful, horrible thing through the post, and on the next show I might be saying, don't go near Etsy, it's a con. But so far, my experience has actually been extremely good. It doesn't cost anything to sign up to do it. You just, you know, you just in the usual way, you just give them a username and password and you're in. And I've messaged this particular person and I've ordered from this particular person and I wait to see what arrives in the post. But from starting with tell me about Etsy, I can now tell you that Etsy looks rather good. And I would suggest people spend some time looking through it and on it. And that's all I have to say.
Cool.
And I didn't cough
sounds
once.
Great. Yeah. No, that sounds great. It sounds really, really good. And the only thing that you won't presumably get is, you know, if you get into dispute with someone, you
yes, haven't got the, buyer protection
the wonderful
sort of thing,
Amazon
yeah.
backup of
yes.
we won't argue with you. But yeah, I'm sure that if it survived this long, it's that those incidents will be few and far between.
Yes.
So I'll have a look at that. Yeah.
I'd say it's Amazon for artisans, for, you know,
yeah.
for
people who make stuff and have a little kind of home cottage industry, maybe.
Exactly, that sort of thing. Yeah, worth a look. So there we go.
Gas. I must just tell you about my gas.
Oh,
two nights. Yes, thank
you.
Oh, no. Two nights during this cold spell, my gas has played up. The first night, the buffoons that were in charge of filling up the tank on my static site had just forgotten to fill it up, and the gas just ran out. And it was 8 p.m. and I tried to contact them and no response. 8 p.m. in the evening or thereabouts, and nothing. And so I was just frozen all night, which, as you know, I don't really mind that much. But I couldn't have a shower. Anyway, the next morning, they admitted their error and they sorted it out. Anyway, blow me down. Not a week later, and the gas stops again. So
aww.
I thought, oh, no, they can't have run out, for goodness sake. They just filled it up. So anyway, this turns out that I've got a duff meter. To be fair to them, they actually got straight into action with that one. I did have to spend one more night without heating and a shower again, but the very next day, they put a new meter on, and it's all back to normal. But yeah, it reminded me how cold it was.
you could have had a Wim Hof shower and manned yourself up a bit.
What's that?
Wim Hof, this man who the cold... Oh, never mind. Look up Wim Hof and see. Find out for yourself. Hey, listen, this is a world record. We're pushing 13 minutes and we haven't even had the feedback from the last show yet. We're doing well. Too much jawing and waffling. Shall I start the feedback?
Go for it.
Ian Chappell. Oh, this is feeding back to me. Ian Chappell on wicking T-shirts. If you remember on the last show, I was talking about, again, working towards my new personal Santa suit, now changing from cotton T-shirts, which just absorb all my sweat and become a soggy mess, to wicking T-shirts, which move the sweat away from the body. Ian says, quite rightly, for the information I gave, I feel that Gemini gave you extremely bad advice, Aidan, on the T-shirts you could wear under your Santa suit. If you choose wicking T-shirts rather than cotton ones, the Santa suit will absorb the sweat, which seems to be precisely what you're trying to avoid. Well, yes, Ian, under the circumstances, you're quite correct, but I actually hadn't given the whole situation, which is that I will, in time, be wearing a PCM cooling vest. Forgive me, I forget what PCM stands for, but it's the chemical inside the cells. It's a sort of, if you imagine like these things you put in the freezer, cool packs that you put in the freezer and then you stick it in your picnic box and it keeps your picnic cold. That was very upper class, wasn't it? A PCM cooling vest I shall be wearing. And the point of PCM, well, to paraphrase a long Gemini response, I can tell you, without a wicking layer, perspiration becomes trapped against the skin, leading to a swampy, clammy sensation, exactly as you pointed out, Ian. A wicking t-shirt pulls moisture away from the skin and spreads it across the fabric's surface. This ensures that sweat is moved away from the body to where it has a better chance of evaporating. This also has the benefit of providing a secondary cooling effect known as evaporative cooling. And I've learned both from Gemini and from the site from which I'm probably going to buy the cooling vest that a wicking t-shirt is what you want because it draws the sweat away from the body and allows the sweat to dissipate and evaporate around the incredible cooling vest. So thanks for the comment, Ian. It was my fault because I hadn't given you all the information.
Uh-huh. Gemini is just so wonderful. We can give a Gemini a gold star every show,
oh,
I think.
Yes, but here, have you noticed it's slowing down a bit? I think the more popular...
No, I have not.
Oh, I have. My Gemini, instead of... I mean, I have a thing with Gemini. I amuse myself by asking Gemini a question, clicking send, and trying to read the question before Gemini responds. And normally I can't even read my own question before Gemini has sent me a 10-paragraph answer. But now I've discovered there's a slight lag. I just wonder if it's because more and more and more people are using it.
I think one thing they're trying to do is get people to sign up to the first level, which I actually did this week. I reported it on the Tech Addicts podcast at the weekend, so I won't go through it all again. But I signed up to the AI Plus, which has got an introductory offer of $3.49 a month for 2 months, and then it's $6.99 a month.
Right.
So it might well be that they are favouring people using
exactly.
That.
They might be wanting to use. Yeah. Okay. Right. Carry on.
Right, Elizabeth Eberly. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Lovely to hear from you again. She says that she's been listening to episode 231, the Yeti Rambler Rage. Regarding the Yeti Rambler mug, my employer recently gave these out as Christmas gifts to employees, and I've been using mine daily. I'm quite pleased with it, she says. I believe the lid closure mechanism, which Yeti refers to as Mag Slider, is superior in design to lids from similar brands. I'm also tempted to try the Yeti Rambler pour over coffee maker, which you also mentioned on the show. Oh yeah, I remember that. It wasn't that expensive, was it? Anyway, she concludes by saying, "It's always wonderful listening to you both. Cheers from the US of A, the US of A."
More dialects from Mr. Salmon.
It's great that you're still listening, Elizabeth. So thank you for that. It's very meaningful that we have these regular listeners, particularly from other countries. Not that that devalues anyone from Britain, of course. We love everyone.
Get out of that hole, Ted. yes, thank you, Elizabeth. The Yeti Rambler mug looks very much like my Ember mug when it has its lid upon it. Looks very nice. And yes, thank you for letting us know. Good shout.
Mm-hmm.
Now
right.
We move. Yeah, we move to the coddled eggs. If you remember this, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder who bought it. I had ordered on my mother's request because she one day said, "Oh, I haven't had a coddled egg since I was young. Can you still coddle eggs?" And so I looked it up, found an egg coddler, bought it. It turned up on Ted's. I wonder who bought that. And I said, "It was me." And so we've discussed it a few times. They take 6.5 years to arrive, but when they do, they're vintage style ceramic egg coddlers, 220 milliliters, made of porcelain in several different designs, $8.99. But as Ted says, all sorts of vouchers and discounts available for more than one. At the end of the day, let's go through this. You have used it, Ted, haven't you? And I think already tell us about the experiment? I think you did. I don't remember.
I did not.
Okay, then tell us about your experience.
We were waiting until we could both have done it.
Yes,
and compare
that's right.
Notes. I was surprised, personally, how big it was. It's huge.
Yes.
I was expecting it to be a small thing, which you'd get one egg in. But
ditto,
no.
Ditto.
I reckon you could probably get four in there.
Yes.
Anyway, I was going in blind, really. I hadn't consulted any instructions or even Gemini. So I put two eggs in. I broke the yolks, but I didn't stir it. I put a knob of olive spread in there. half a slice of ham and some pepper and just put the lid on. Placed it in water in a saucepan. Now, this became my first mistake, because when I did ask Gemma, why is this taking so long? Apparently, I checked it after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and I thought, this is not right. It's supposed to cook quicker than this. She told me that you're supposed to have the water in the saucepan 3/4 of the way up the side of the thingy, and I didn't have it anywhere near that high. So there's the first tip. If you're going to do a coddling thing, make sure there's plenty of water around it, 3/4 of the way up. Anyway, you put the lid on the thing, I personally thought once it had cooked, it was absolutely lovely. It tasted really strongly of the olive spread. So I guess if you use butter, it would also taste very buttery. But we don't use butter. Somewhere between an omelette and a poached egg, I thought, in terms of consistency and taste and all the rest of it. Dad and I really, really enjoyed it. It was creamy and smooth. It was really, really nice. I've done another one since, and I, like you, I probably haven't experimented enough, but you find a way of doing it. So that was my experience, and I thought it was really worthwhile, and it tasted lovely, and it was cool. And next time I'll know how to do it a bit more efficiently. What about you?
Well, I did talk to Gemini first and learned about the amount of water to put in the pan and also to coat the inside with butter so it doesn't stick when you cook it. So I indeed did the butter. Ah. I put 2 eggs in, no breaking of the yolks, just put the eggs in, did the thing up and cooked it. Now, this was for my mother, and bless her. I mean, I have to say, my mother's not the best at describing what something tastes like. You know, was it nice? Well, yes. Was it better than poached eggs? Well, the same, really. Well, which would you prefer? I don't really know. So it's difficult to get a real consensus from my mum. I didn't taste them myself. I made them for my mother. And I'm afraid the only thing I have to say is that even if, yes, the end result is a stage up from just a regular poached egg. If you remember the fantastic egg poacher that we've had on the show 2 or 3 times that I've talked about, this wonderful thing that you bung in a microwave and you can cook poached eggs in a microwave in 2 minutes flat. I use that frequently and I'm very happy with it. And I have to say that the amount of faff that's required for the egg codler, the eggs coming out of there would just have to be the nectar of the gods for me to think it was worth doing that over a 2-minute microwave poached egg. You know, because you have to boil a pan of water, which is using electricity and time, takes a lot of time for the water to come to the boil, and then the 10 minutes that you need to boil the eggs. You've then, when you've finished, you've then got a dirty codler that you've either got to hand wash or put in the dishwasher. So for those reasons, my vote goes to, no, I'm not going to use it for myself because it's just a lot of faff. But I might be being a fool, because if I made one for myself and tasted it, I might go, my God, this is good. I must always use the egg codler. So I'm probably being my own worst enemy here, but not for me, I'm afraid.
Possibly. I would say that you should try, because I was just really surprised how lovely it tasted, and the consistency was just really nice. Mm-hmm. And I was just really impressed overall. And so was my dad as well.
I suppose that
my dad...
Sorry, after you.
My dad, I was going to say, is so stuck in his ways that anything new for him is a real hurdle. So, and he loved it.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is I think what one could try, and what I might try for myself rather than for my mother, is adding things. I mean, add a bit of garlic, add a bit of spinach, add a bit of whatever. And then you do get a creation that's more than just a poached egg. So, I think I shouldn't write it off without trying it a bit more first. Excuse me.
Yeah. Before we leave this topic, I must just say that the Amazon listing was really funny. It said £9.29 with a 70p discount, which I applied. If you wanted it delivered by standard delivery, it was going to arrive about 2 weeks later and would be free. But if you wanted it rushed to arrive about a week later, then it was £59.98 express delivery. So 60 quid for under £9.
I don't know how they work these things out. Do you remember that one I laughed about on the show once before that said you can have it delivered on Monday for free, or you can pay £5 and we'll deliver it on Wednesday? You know what I mean? It's just bonkers.
Same principle, except 60 quid. 60
oh,
quid.
Dear.
No idea where it came from, this coddler, but it's a cute little thing. I really like it. As do I like the Ego Star 1 litre electric kettle, which my dad got because the old one that we got and covered on the show and raved about, because it is really, really good. But he concluded that it was too big. It was too heavy for him to lift. So we got him a little one, same make, blue, lovely blue light in it, made of glass, but it's a 1 litre one. And it is 21 or 22 quid or something. And he loves that much, much better. And it's lighter for him and all the rest of it. So I thought I'd just give that a quick shout out.
That does look very nice. Yes, I might move in that direction for my mother. At the moment, we're still very happy with our press the button and out comes hot water machine.
Oh, yeah.
But we do tend to keep a kettle for emergencies. I shall bear that one in mind. Thank you, Ted.
Okay.
I stumbled on something that, excuse me, that might interest you. I'm looking for this PCM cool vest that I talked about. I'm looking at a company called Easy Cooldown, ezcooldown.com. And they make a cool vest for performers, which I'm highly likely to be purchasing in due course. But while I was there, I discovered the PCM cool collar. Now, yes, it looks a little bit like something you'd buy in an S&M or sex shop, but it's a black collar that you put around your neck that has these PCM packs in them. Now, again, I still can't remember what PCM stands for, but it cools down at a higher. Where's Steve Litchfield when you need him? It melts at a much higher temperature than water, or is it a much lower temperature than water? Which consequently means that at room temperature, it's a solid, and if you hold it against your skin is cooled down by it. And I think you have to get to 21 degrees before the stuff actually melts. People more intelligent than I can read all about it on the website. I've also linked to a video that explains it, if anyone's interested, on YouTube. But the point is,
they won't need to because they're more intelligent than you. Never mind.
Yes, but anyway, the point is, I don't know why, but I'm offering you something that I found here. I wondered if you might want to look at the PCM cool collar, because this is a little tiny thing that you put around your neck and it keeps your neck cool. The end.
I did look at it, and I thought to myself, there's got to be cheaper versions of this. And sure enough, I went on the hunt on our favourite website, mm-hmm. and I found... let me see if I can find it now.
Oh, very good.
I think it should be in my basket. Here it is. There's one called Toppin-Chi-Kin-Ning-Ning.
Oh, that one, yes.
A neck cooling tube, reusable ice cooling ring, and it's 11 quid.
Yes, but does it take PCM or is it just with water? Because the advantage... Go on.
It's got packs built into it that you freeze. So you put it in the freezer.
Yeah, but unless it uses the name PCM, it means that you've got water in those packs, so it will be like ice. Your neck will be very cold for a short while. It does what?
It does. It says PCM.
PCM. Oh, then I'm impressed. Yeah. Then buy that one. Ignore the one I found and buy that one.
TPU PCM, it says. Whatever TPU means. Anyway. Oh, no, that's the plastic, isn't it? The TPU.
But anyway.
Consequently, yes, it's a good idea, I think, though I've never tried one. And I might well invest in that cheaper one and see how I get on. Well done.
Yes, come the hot weather, I think you should. Right, time for a jingle.
Ted's Salmagundi.
You remember I brought a head shaver to the show. It's called the
I do. It's like a Philly shave, but with about 45 different things on it, and you just roll it over your head. Yes, I do remember.
The make was a DOAO head shaver, right? And it was clearly a Chinese cheapo thing. I thought it was all right, and I raved about it on the show, and I said, this is great, it's so good. But actually, over time, I don't know if I've been treating it badly or wrong or whatever, over time, it's just become more and more hard work to finish the job. It ended up taking me about 20 minutes of keep going over and over. Now, it could be that I need some new blades for it or whatever, I don't know, but it was 30 quid. Anyway, I went hunting on YouTube for what to do about this. And the one that kept coming up was Remington RX7. And so I decided that it was 60 quid. So it's basically twice the price. But everyone was saying how much better it is. And so consequently, I ordered it.
Oh,
absolutely. It's night and day compared to this other one, honestly. Twice
the
price.
You get what you pay for.
Well, I was going to say twice the price, and it's like five times
Brilliant.
Better. I finished the job, instead of in 20 minutes, I finished it in not 5 minutes. Really, really good. And also, it's completely wet and dry. So if you want to, you can just do this in the shower. You get a little trimmer on the edge of it as well, which you can use, or I can use to do my beardy bits. Basically, this Remington one is so much better than the cheapo Chinese one. And so I recommend it.
Well, I know why it's called DOAO then, because after a while you go, "Oh, it's not working."
Yes. It wasn't dead on arrival, though.
Another jingle.
I'd like to thank everyone who has chipped into my affiliate link, because I got a record bumper amount from Amazon of 89 quid for the 2 months prior to January. So that was all over the Christmas period, I guess. But thank you so much.
Wow.
That's the most amount I've ever got for a 2 month period.
That's a few cups of coffee, isn't it? Well done, Ted.
I wonder who. Maybe someone bought a car in it or something. But it was certainly a
so
good
you don't
thing.
Know. Anyway, you don't know whether it's two or three purchases, a large amount. I mean, you don't know how many purchases it takes to build that amount. You got no idea how much various things cost.
Well, I tried to look into it. I tried to analyse the data in my affiliate thingy, and I couldn't read it properly. I think I tried to do exactly what you're describing, and I tried to drill down and see where I just couldn't see how the data works. But anyway, it did work, and it's worked for me, so thank you all so much. And here's one that I thought that might be a Hazel special, and you again, was the R-dot LED magnifying glass, which looks really nifty.
Let me say from the very, very start, no, not guilty, my lad.
Somebody's bought this and it looks really nifty. My late mum used to have something like this to do her jigsawing, but this looks even better. A big magnifying glass with all sorts of coloured LEDs coming out of it. It's got a flat base, which is really interesting because you can put that underneath things. A gooseneck for the magnifying glass as well, 10 times magnification, and 144 LEDs. That must be really, really bright. So I just think it looks really, really neat. And if I was doing anything that I needed something like that for, I think that's the kind of thing I would be going for. It looks fabulous, and so many LEDs, and also you get a desk clamp with it. If you want to clamp it to a desk, you can do that. Really nifty. So
I like the look of this.
20 quid.
But having just said you get what you pay for, the fact that it's only in inverted commas 20 quid worries me slightly, because I wonder if it's as good as it looks. But this does look great. This looks like something that in due course I might need to get for my mother. Ooh.
Well, hopefully we can get some feedback from our mystery buyer.
Yes,
and they can
please.
Tell us if it was good or bad or rubbish, or they sent it back.
Yes, I second that. If you bought it, please let us know.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for using my affiliate link, which I shall now say again to encourage you to do it even more. tinyurl.com, Amazon Ted UK. You lovely people.
Still using. As listeners will of course know, we lost dear Ian Barton not long ago, and I think it's lovely that he pops up every now and again and he's still with us in spirit in the show. And my still using this week is something that Ian brought onto the show in October 2023, show number 195, blue light blocking over glasses. Exactly what it says on the tin. They're glasses that you put on over your own glasses. They're a yellowy orangey colour, which blocks out blue light in your vision spectrum, and it is blue light what keeps you awake at night. So I wear these when I get into bed, and as we all do, sit there with my phone when I should be going to sleep. I put these glasses on religiously every night, and I swear I sleep better because of it. Again, it's only anecdotal. I could be wrong, but I really do believe that comparing how I sleep these days to how I slept prior to buying them, I go to sleep more quickly than I used to with using these glasses. So it's a simple one-use thing. They sit by my bedside. I put them on at night. I wear them while I'm playing with the phone. The only problem is, you know, I have to get used to everything is orange on the phone. But, I mean, does it matter when you're just skimming through nothing at night time when you should be asleep anyway? £16.14. I can't remember whether that's what I paid or what they cost now. But well worth it if you value a good night's sleep but can't put your phone down.
I seem to remember that Ian used these for something to do with cycling. I think it was because they went round the corners. It went round the edges of your eyes,
yes,
or something.
And I think there is something also to do with, because I know you can buy these sort of yellowy orange glasses. They're sold, you know, as seen on TV, makes nighttime spectacularly visual. So maybe Ian was using them for that sort of effect rather than the opposite, the soporific effect that I'm buying them for.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, nice to remember, Ian. You're absolutely right. I'm going to bring to still using the Angry Mama microwave cleaner, which is hideously overpriced now at for a lump of plastic, £6.99. This is something you could definitely get from AliExpress, no doubt, for about 10p. But anyway, it is good. It's a thing that is in the shape of a woman, and it's got a lid on it, and she's got hair, and it's all very twee. But you put vinegar in it, then you put some water in it, you put it in the microwave for, I think, by memory, 7 minutes, and you just let it go on full power, and then you leave it for, I think, 3 minutes after you've finished. And when you take it out afterwards, it had the steam that comes off of the mixture in there, the way that the lid has got a kind of outlet for steam. It takes all the crud and the crap off of the outside of the inside surfaces of the microwave, and it really does work. I am still using that. I just used it the other day again, and it worked really, really nicely. That was Whatever Works 188 in summer of 23. So. Yeah, still working, and I didn't pay £6.99. I think it was about £3, but it's just a lump of plastic, really. I'm sure you could probably improvise something else. Heath Robinson, Aidan Bell would improvise something.
Well, I was just going to say, you've already got one, but not to want to burst the bubble of anyone who's thinking of buying one, but you could save yourself £7 by just putting a bowl of vinegar and water in your microwave and switching it on, and as it boils, it would have the same effect, I'm sure. And if it wouldn't, all you need is a small plastic bottle and drill a few holes in the lid, and you've got the thing for yourself. So yes, you can Heath Robinson it, but I do like the idea of it. I think it does look great fun. It's a sort of South Park-esque kind of silliness, but yeah, it's fun. It's fun, and I don't object. If you can afford the £7, then yeah, buy yourself something that looks like this because it's fun to have.
Yeah. Now, talking of Judge Barton, as we did just now, we come to his Cheapest Chips, which has been forever named in his stead. And my first Cheapest Chips is the Castrol coffee mug. This is a bit of a Father's Day joke for my dad, which is not that far away now, by the way. £9.99, so just getting in, sneaking under the radar there. It's a mug which will remind Dad, and probably you from what you've told me about Swarfiga, of the old days of fiddling around with cars. They've made this mug, so it's a Castrol GTX motif on it, the same as the old stuff that he would have been fiddling about with in 1975 or even 65. And it's got all the grease and dirt and it's just really funny. It just looks like a filthy, dirty mug. And of course it isn't. But I can imagine that Some people would just not even want to be drinking out of it because it looks so disgusting. But my dad will think that's really funny.
It does look great. I really like this. And it amazes me now how good these things are starting to look. I remember seeing a mug a couple of years ago that was a lens mug. It looked like a camera lens. And blow me, it looked like a camera lens. And you'd think, I'm going to drink coffee out of that. Yeah, these things do look great. And I love this. I love the fact that it's got this nasty, mucky black oil around the edges of it. I'm a little too young to have actually done this myself with cars, but I certainly remember my dad in our garage, we have a pit, and he used to actually drive the car very carefully over the pit and then climb underneath and work on the car underneath. And I'm sure this would have meant a great deal to my dad. Yeah, it's a lovely find, Ted. Very nice.
Cool. And the other thing I'll quickly mention that will affect both of us is the clean espresso tablets. Don't pay for Sage ones, because Sage ones, these are the tablets you buy to clean your coffee machine. We've both got a Sage machine. And so...
Where did you get your Sage machine, Ted?
The Sage, if you buy them from Sage, you get eight of these tablets for 15 quid. If you buy them, these clean espresso tablets, which are just the same thing, £6.64 for 15, so basically double the price. Just a quick one really to say that I've worked it out that they're £1.87 each in Sage and 44p each in clean espresso. So, yeah, just to save some money, really.
Well, I then chipped in on our recording notes and said, well, I'll see you your tablets and I'll raise you mine. Back in 2018, I found a tub of 100 tablets for £11.99, I'm still working through. I've got those in the cupboard somewhere at home, and, you know, I'm going to be working through those, and they're cheap. So I think that actually works out at about 11 pence each, which I'm afraid probably takes the crown, except that you found something similar, didn't you? You found another.
No, this is your link was now dead from 7 years ago.
Right.
And the price for these now is 21 quid. But even so, for 100, it takes the crown of this experiment because they're only 21p each.
Right.
So that's half the price of even the clean espresso one.
Yes. Whereas I'm paying 11 pence for being an early adopter.
yeah, exactly.
Ted's top tips.
My TED top tip this time is to take some time away from tech. I know this is a real theme.
It's an alliteration episode this week. Yeah, love it.
Yes. My New Year's resolution in 2026 was to sit in the evenings and listen to at least one LP.
Wow.
Put the mobile phone in a different room. And just put it away. Don't be in earshot of the phone. So if anyone tries to contact me in the evening and you don't get a response, that'll be the reason. Get the album cover out and just do nothing else except listen to the music and, well, look at the cover and the lyrics, which is part of the whole enjoyment of LPs. And hopefully not fall asleep. I'm always connected to the outside world in some way or other, and this has been really relaxing, and it's made me make sure that I do use my records, you know, the money that I've spent on them over the years, and it's just really, really nice. I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but this has been really valuable time out for me, and I've really enjoyed doing it. I'm not quite sure what other people could do instead, who don't have LPs and stuff. But I suppose you could pick anything, really. You do a jigsaw, or do some knitting or something.
Or read a book, or go for a walk. Ted, but, digital detox. I'm totally up for it, yes.
But I think the key of this is to put the phone in another room. Mm-hmm. That seems to be really important in the process.
Yes. I think so. I have a habit that I try and sometimes fail to do when I go on holiday is if, you know, I've got a holiday, I don't know, we're going out for the day. I leave the phone in the hotel in the morning and I have my whole day without the phone and enjoy the holiday and come back to the phone. It's difficult to do. But again, any sort of digital detox like that, I'm absolutely in favour of. Yes. A very good, a top TED top tip.
I want one
of those.
Chris Kelly is first. The Inseparable Notebook Pen. He's ordered one of these. I was thinking about ordering one. It said they were 16 quid, and I thought, right, 16 quid. Yeah, that looks good. It's a thing that you kind of clip to your notebook, an old-fashioned ordinary notebook, and you put your pen in it. It gives you a silo for your pen, essentially, on any notebook you're using. Anyway, when I came to order it, it was 16 quid, and then it's coming from Japan, and then suddenly the 16 quid turned into about a three-week delivery window and £21.40. I thought, hang this. So Chris Kelly's taking one for the team. He's always behind on listening to our podcast, so in about 3 months' time, no doubt he'll tell us if it's any good or not.
So let me get this straight. Hello, Chris. This is for old-fashioned paper and pen. If you have a notebook, you attach this to the side of the notebook, and it holds your pen for you.
Yeah,
well,
simple.
That's cute. But that's cute.
It looks like a nice design.
Simple.
And as I say, Chris is going to have a go because he loves pens.
Well, I'll see your £16 and I'll raise you £3,089.99 for the Niigata fiberglass pond. I just stumbled upon this. I may have mentioned I have a pond in the garden, but you know, my pond is a traditional dig a hole and line it with a polythene or whatever it's made of, rubber pond liner kind of pond. This one, I just thought it would be fun to see what the biggest pond commercially available would be, and the biggest I could find was this one made by a company called Niigata, Niigata. It's bloody enormous. There's a picture of it with a guy standing next to one. The width is taller than him. I think it's 2-point-something metres wide and 3-point-something metres long, and I'm not quite sure how deep it is. I just like that. You know, I love my pond in the garden. I'm looking forward to the spring and summer when I can go outside and play again. And I like the idea of a 1,100-gallon or 4,950-litre pond in the garden. Couldn't you have some fun with that? But my goodness, wouldn't that be a hole you'd have to dig?
that's an awful lot of money for what is basically a bunch of... What's it made of?
I suppose it's fiberglass. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's inordinately expensive. You'd have to have more money than sense to pay for it. But that's the point of I want one of those. I don't have the slightest intention of trying to own one. I just love the look of it.
I suppose if you were running some sort of garden centre
or
something, then maybe it's designed for commercial use.
To be honest, if I were designing a 4,900-litre garden pond, I wouldn't design it in a rather boring oblong shape like that. You know, it looks a bit like a sort of commercial sewage tank, doesn't it, in its shape and aesthetic, rather than a garden pond. So you'd have to do some work on it. But there you are, just the idea of a ginormous pond. It tickled my fancy.
So how big is your pond?
Oh, it's not that much smaller than that. I mean, in a way, mine is sort of... You could get my pond into that pond, but there wouldn't be much space left. Put it that way.
Oh, right. It's quite big then.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's quite a monster. I'll have to put some pictures up for people to see.
Okay. And how much was yours?
Oh, nowhere close to that, because mine was a hole and then there was the liner. I honestly cannot remember now. I think the liner cost something around 200 quid mark. For the amount of liner that I needed to do the pond with. But, I mean, 200 against 4,000 is not much argument there, is there?
And do you still get lots of pleasure from having the pond?
Oh, absolutely, because the thing with the pond, and everybody who looks at it now who saw it before has commented, it now looks as if it's always been there. When you first put a pond in, it looks like, oh, you've built a pond. That's nice. But then as the seasons go by and as the years go by, and I think it's about year 3 or even 4 now since I've put it in, it starts to look as if it's something that's always been there, and all the plants and the life around it sort of grows and connects and makes it sort of at one with nature, and it just looks like a pond that's always been there, and that makes it great fun, and that means that anything else that I do in terms of playing with it in inverted commas has to respect the fact that it's not a new project. Anything else new that I do to it now has to fit in with the way the pond has now settled in the garden, if that makes any sense.
And have you've got, presumably you've got koi or something in there?
No fish. I wanted to go for the whole frog thing. But we have frogs every year. Then there's now, for the first year or two, I found some local frog spawn and transported it into the pond, not entirely legally, and put it in myself. Now frogs have caught on, and now I don't have to go do anything. Every April or May, there's a whole load of frog spawn in there. I've also seen, the vocabulary dies. What are they called? The little things like tiny, tiny little alligators. Oh, good Lord. Those things. I have those too. Yeah. It'll come to me before the end of the show. We have those in the pond now as well, which are apparently quite rare. So I'm very pleased to have them. And we've got dragonflies down there and all sorts of insects down there. So it's really become its own little ecosystem. I'm really delighted with it.
And so do you and Hazel go and sit there and just sit by the pond in the summer?
Not as much as we should. I try to, and I encourage my mother to, and there are maybe two or three days in the summer she will go down there, and maybe she'll have a friend come and visit, and they'll go. And so, yes, if the weather's really hot and my mother is inclined to sit outside, then she will certainly sit outside near the pond, because, of course, we've got the waterfall and I've got the stream, so there's always this lovely sound of running water, which is, you know, very, very soothing. I'm still trying to remember the name of these wretched things in my pond. It'll come to me shortly. Newts! Newts! There's the word! Newts! We have newts in the pond, and I'm delighted with them too.
Very nice, yeah. So I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Yes, and thank you.
It sounds like you don't really need a 3,000 replacement.
Of course I don't. Of course I don't. It was just fun to talk about it.
I tell you something I would like is a pouch thingy. Now, I've got limited use for a pouch thingy. Although I could put it in my pocket when I go out to Tesco or whatever. But this thing that I picked up on is called a Metador. And it's a smart travel case, basically, which you can put... you can stash in it whatever you want to, really. But it will hold it's a passport size. You can put cards and coins, a pen, keys... you know, whatever you want in there, really, and you can zip it up, and it's got all lots of lovely pockets inside. It looks like something kind of going back to about the year 2000 that people used to buy. It's waterproof and RFID blocking, which means that someone can't nick data from your cards.
Yes.
And I'm sure you could just put your phone in there if you wanted to as well. There's a loop on the outside for hanging sunglasses off of. Bloody, 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 blah. Looks really nice. It costs $49 plus five.
Vocabulary disappears. converting. 40, that's the word you wanted, sir.
Converting, yeah. 40 quid. Plus any duty that you might likely get importing it from America. I tell you, we'll get Elizabeth to buy some and send it to us. Elizabeth. We'll send you 49.
A couple of these, please. Yes. It does look very nice. Yes. It does. And as you say, it's a bit of a throwback. Vive la analogue. It's a sort of Filofax for things, isn't it? I like this. It's a sort of thing. Yeah. Again, like you, I'm not entirely sure how much use I would get out of it if I had one. Oh, excuse me.
No.
But yeah, the kind of thing that I'd love to have, because it does tickle that sort of analogue days of yore nerve of mine, which I like very much.
Very, very nice indeed.
Better before.
Autograph books. Better. We don't often have better before these days. But I stumbled into autograph books and I thought to myself, being completely out of touch with anyone under 40 these days, I wonder if these are still a thing. When we were a kid, when I was, I don't know, maybe a young teenager around 1975, my sister was really keen on this. And it's not an autograph book that you go and try and track down rich and famous people with. It's just, she used it just for people you knew. So friends at school, maybe when you're leaving a year or something, you'd get them to go and write something, hopefully funny or something, inside it. Or you're on a holiday and you meet some kids and you get them to just write even just their name or their phone number or whatever you want to do. And you try to encourage them to write something funny, but not always. And I did get sucked into this emulating my sister's efforts for a while. But, I mean, I got bored because there wasn't a screwdriver involved. But so, I mean, maybe it's a girl thing. I don't know. But anyway, I stumbled into this thing in Amazon, and it's called a autograph book, and it's made by Old Queen Publishing. I thought of you.
Thank you.
And it was only £3.88, but there's lots of these all over Amazon if you want an autograph book. But I just did wonder, do you remember doing any of this
stuff? Old Queen Publishing, there's your theatrical link, isn't it? Well, yes. I mean, when I was younger, I mean much younger, I mean sort of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I did have one for the rich and famous. I love the idea of the personal one, and I think that's really on the whole a better route to take, excuse me. But being an old queen, a theatre person, I did, you know, my mother used to take me to see shows, and I remember collecting Michael Crawford's autograph with great excitement, and then people you'll never have heard of, like Ben Vereen. And I worked for a long while, quite a while, I worked at the Victoria Palace Theatre in London, and I got people like Liza Minnelli and Richard Harris and Johnny Mathis and all sorts of people. So yes, when I was younger, I did indeed have an autograph book or books, and I enjoyed collecting autographs. So for me, it was a thing. And again, it is a better before. This does again speak to the old analog world of paper and pen and not having a digital life, but doing everything in the real world. And I thoroughly approve. And somewhere I still have my autograph books, and you've piqued my interest to go and find them now and see who I did get in there.
Cool.
I tell you what I want to say is better before. Well, it's not better before, it's better now. This is a question of better now. Is my payment ring. Do you remember I have a ring with which I pay? And and I'm very happy with it. And
you
had
to charge it up, didn't you?
No. It automatically, you can pay up to £20 on it, and then it just sucks the money back out from your bank account. You link it to a bank card.
Okay.
You know, the safety feature is you can't use more than £20 off it. So if it should get nicked, excuse me, I can cancel it quickly. Oh, excuse me. Well, the reason I'm bringing it on to better before is because I've noticed I can now go shopping and use my payment ring and leave the shop without... Oh, did you just pay with... Did you use your... That's clever. Right. Oh, more income. And look at this. Right. This man just paid with his ring. Oh, where did you get that? Because you may remember that a year or so ago, I was on the show bemoaning that I was not using my payment ring for fear that every time I tried to use it, I would get this barrage of questions and excitement. And, oh, look, it's magic. Is that a Hogwarts ring? Oh, And now I don't. And now, obviously, the technology has moved along and people are paying in so many different ways that I can reach out my hand and fist bump the payment machine, and it's so efficient and so good and so lovely to use, and nobody bothers me anymore. So I'm saying it wasn't better before, it's better now. Thank you.
Perfect.
Whatever worked.
Right, I'm going to bring Jen Tobbs' item from show 88, which was in August 19, and it's microwave steam bags. Now, I don't know if you remember these, but they're basically disposable plastic bags, which is probably bad for the environment. But you put some vegetables or whatever you want into these bags, and you seal. It's got a kind of sticky adhesive flap thingy. You seal them down, and then you put it in the microwave, and you cook it in there, cooks by steam. But there is a vent in the... If the pressure gets too high inside, apparently, it vents some of the steam out. But anyway, the technical side of it doesn't really matter. The point is that they work, and after if you put vegetables in there, they'll cook really quickly. And I remember Jen talking about these, or bringing these to the show back in the day, and I don't think that we ever bought any, to be honest, but now the interest has been piqued again, I might well do. So if you're still listening, Jen, hello to you, and thank you for that item. I shall give it a go now.
Well, I just did. £4.75 for 200? My goodness.
Yeah.
I have put it in my basket. I tell you why. I have, again, as we have spoken about on the show, a microwave steamer, which is a vessel, a big plastic thing that you put steam in, and it's got a tray in it, and you put a plastic lid on, and you bung it in the microwave, and you cook it for 5 minutes till the water's hot. Then you put your vegetable in, and then you cook for a further amount of time to cook the vegetables. And I'm always very pleased when I find these vegetables, often in Tesco, that are already in a sealable bag, and say on the back, do not open the bag, place immediately into the microwave. And I find them fantastic, and I'm it's much quicker and easier and less faff to cook that way. So I'm delighted. On my wrist for not having picked up on them properly in 2019 when they were on the show, and I've indeed just put some in my my Amazon basket, so I will be I'll be definitely trying them out in coming weeks. Thank you.
Cool. Say hello to Jen.
Thank you, Jen. I bring you a John Love's Keeper Chrome extension. John Love. There's a name for the past.
He was the chap that was he worked in the dentist industry. He used to advise us on toothpastes and electric
That's
toothbrushes.
Right, yes.
Do you remember? Yeah, yeah.
Well, in this case, wow. Something totally different. He brought us and brought to my attention for the first time the Keeper Chrome extension. This is the extension that goes into Amazon so that when you're on Amazon and you're looking at the microwave bags and you're thinking, oh, these are a bit expensive. Weren't they cheaper a week or two ago? You can look back in the past and you can see the history of the price of the item that you're looking at. And it's also very good because it's a sort of crystal ball effect as well. Because if you look and you can see that every second week the price suddenly drops for a couple of days and you're approaching that period, then it might be worth your while just hanging on in for a few days to see if another price drop occurs. So it's a really neat little device that just gives you a price history on Amazon, but it's also a price history from which, if you're clever, you can possibly deduce the future price as well.
You are right. It we were talking off air that it is, you have to install it via Chrome.
Yes.
I think. So I'm not sure that it will work on, say, Firefox or anything else. But yeah, I use that all the time, Keeper, and it's really good. But what you may not know, young Aidan, is if you skip into Amazon right now and choose an item of any description you like, you will see on... Oh, blimey. I picked one where it is not the case. They started doing their own, and it says, on the left there, it says, see price history or something.
Oh, okay.
So I think they've realised that everyone's doing this Keeper thing, and they're trying to do their own as well. There it is. I found it. It's just underneath the price. It says price history.
But you know what? I think I would prefer to trust a third party because Amazon might be trying clever things.
Yeah.
It's like the thing about, the sale price, and it turns out it isn't really a sale price at all. I would prefer to trust a third party than Amazon. Sorry, Amazon.
I agree.
Danny Hoy puts Every into Room 101 this show. The Courier of Doom, says Danny.
Not again.
It's hard to be nice to Every. They somehow lost an order of coffee I placed, he said, originally planned to be delivered to my place of work. Instead, my parcel seems to have got lost in their system, or damaged, or stolen. Or drunk, maybe, Danny. Maybe they just drank it. I have no idea, says Danny, because the tracking status has now been stuck on It's On Its Way for a month. I've raised 2 tickets for the issue with them, but their telephone number and online chat system won't let me speak to a person about it. They simply tell me to go back to the seller. Except that Every has been dragging their heels for so long now that the seller's window has now passed. And there, dear listener, Danny's post stops, so I can't tell you what happened.
Well, this is about Amazon, really, isn't it? It's another lesson, I think, to make sure whenever you possibly can, when using Amazon, to get stuff that they stock themselves and don't go to third-party sellers.
Oh, I see. This is from Amazon being delivered by Every. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm assuming it is. But right. I mean, it might not be, but I'm assuming it is. Because if Amazon are dealing with it themselves, they've just got this robust no quibble thing going
yes,
on.
But yes, they have.
If you start dealing with third-party sellers, which clearly Danny has here, because he mentions the seller, you know, they wash their hands of it, and you've got to deal with the seller yourself. I know it's not always possible to be able to deal with Amazon, because some things they don't stock, but whenever you can, I think it's a good idea.
I do find Evri take forever. I mean, you order something that's coming from Evri, and 6 weeks later they send an email saying, congratulations, we've received your parcel. We'll be sending it to you soon. And then it takes them another 6 weeks thereafter. I don't understand that. I have to say that we have a lovely old boy who's our Evri deliverer. And he's lovely. And whenever things always seem to arrive, and he's very cheerful and rings the bell and says hello and delivers the parcels to me, unlike Amazon, who just kind of throw it at the door and run. But you're right. Danny is right. The Evri system itself per se really does want for better efficiency, definitely. That's all.
I've never had any problem with Evri at all. Nothing like the problems I used to have with Yodel. They were just terrible. I don't know what they're like now, but if they still exist now. But yeah. I always find that Evri are fine. But there's exceptions always, isn't there?
I think ultimately I would say Evri are fine if you don't want it in a hurry, because they just seem to take a very long time to deliver.
Well, again, that's not my experience. When I've had next day deliveries and Evri's been involved, they're fine. But different parts of the country,
yes,
just different experiences, I suppose. I want to chuck into room 101 Heinz. And you know what I'm going to say here, which is that lovely grub as it might be, it just does no way on earth warrant being three times the price as supermarket-owned brands, particularly when the supermarket-owned brands are pretty much the same thing in my testing and my experience. I don't understand how Heinz survive, because it must be just people who don't even consider buying anything not Heinz because of the name, I suppose. We've proven in the past that, for example, Amazon make batteries that are made by Duracell, and they've got an Amazon badge on them. And they're exactly the same. I mean, I can't say that is true of a tin of Heinz beans as opposed to a tin of Tesco beans or whatever it is. But anyway, my experience is on the same shelf in Tesco and other supermarkets, Heinz is £1.50 and the own brand is 50p. Now, sometimes they're not as good, and you have to be careful about what you pick. But I just don't get how Heinz survive. Do you?
Brand loyalty is a powerful thing. I mean, it's like these people who spend £300 on a pair of Nike trainers when the no-name trainers for £75 are just as good. So, it's brand loyalty. That's how they do it.
Oh, I did that too early.
Not to worry. It's still nice to hear an after all that ranting and raving. Do you know what I want to give a gold star to this week? Is Google Keep. On the last show, I think it was, we featured a dictaphone. Somebody had bought a moderately old-fashioned, although digital, dictaphone. You know, press a button, leave a message, and press a button and hear it later.
Taxi driver, wasn't it?
Yes. And I was saying it's a lovely thing and I'd love to have one, but I'm actually used now to just speaking to the world and saying Google keyword, remind me to do this, that, or the other, and then I can look in Giggle Coop later to see what it was I'd said. And I realised after the show how very much that has now become a part of my daily life, particularly when I'm in bed. The number of times I'm lying, we all lie in bed, and if we're having trouble sleeping and our brain is whirring away and we're having ideas and thinking of things and, oh, I must remember that, it's lovely to be able to lie there in a half super saying, Google keyword, remember to tell Ted about whatever it was. And then the next morning I can sit up in bed and I'm looking at my Google Keep and I see, oh, yes, I've got to tell Ted about such and such. And it's a fabulous thing. And the same at the car. When I'm driving in traffic, I can say Google keyword, reminder, reminder, reminder. And it's there in Google Keep later. And I hadn't really appreciated until we talked about messages on the last show how very much I appreciate that and how much I would miss it if it was no longer available to me. So Google Keep and specifically orally dictated notes into Google Keep gets a gold star from me.
And I must do more of that because I'm bad at doing that. Whenever I've got a keyboard and a mouse, I do that first. But I should use it more. A very quick one. Very quick one for the bloke that calls me mate from just Blinds in Abergele. Because laying aside the fact that he called me mate, he did come round to do this this curtain quote for me. Now, it's nearly 2 years since I had the first quote done. I thought that I was going to be moving into my dad's house earlier than I was.
Right.
So I cancelled it. But as it turns out, I want to go ahead now. Anyway, 2 years later or thereabouts, I was expecting the price of this £1,900 quote to have gone through the roof in 2 years later. But it hadn't. They'd only added 3% to the cost. So kudos to them. It only cost 58 quid more than it would have done 2 years ago, when everyone else just seems to be hiking their prices willy-nilly. And Just Blinds of Abergele have not done 3%, which is very reasonable. 1.5% a year is, you know, cool.
Very good. It's nice to end the show being nice to people, isn't it?
It certainly is. And end the show we have done. We're going to be back in what's the month today? Oh, it's February, isn't it? We'll be back with our March show in a few weeks. So let us know whatever works in your life in the MeWe group, and we'll bring all of the highlights to the show. Hopefully, Aidan will have recovered by then and won't be coughing through the procedure. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, and all the stuff we do. So all the MeWe groups are linked out from there, and all the audio podcasts, all the stuff, TedSalmon.com. Or if you get lost there, you can go to Podhub UK. Lots of ways to get in on what we do. So that's about it, really. We'll be back next month with more. Let us know whatever works for you. Any last words from you, or are you just going to cough some more?
One last word from me. Sorry. This seems to be becoming a habit. I end the show by apologising for being ill. I'll try to be fit next time. Sorry, folks.
No worries. I'm sure they're glad you're here than not here. So we've had a lovely time, as always. One last thing to say again, as always, don't forget...
Whatever works. Sometimes. Oh, God.